146th Psalm, verse 5, we read, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." You know, the name that God goes by more than any other name in the Bible is the God of Jacob. Something very special about that. In our text in Genesis chapter 22 or 32 verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone." It's a good place to be. Away from creature help. "And there wrestled a man with him into the breaking of the day." And notice it doesn't say Jacob wrestled with a man. It says the man wrestled with Jacob. Jacob didn't initiate this. The man did. And we know that that man was the God man. Look in verse 30 of the same chapter. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared." The God of Jacob. Now, during the course of this wrestling match, the Lord touched his thigh, and it was brought out of joint. He hit him in the place of his strength. And after that, we read in verse 26, where he had lost all strength. Verse 26, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now, let me tell you two things about Jacob. Number one, he was a very evil, deceptive, manipulative man. You read the history of this man, and he was a deceiver. Everything he got by deception. He was a manipulator. He couldn't trust the Lord. He'd pray, and then he'd go do his thing. He was just a deceptive, deceptive man. But the next thing I'd like to say about him is God loved him. Remember that scripture? "Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated." That was his brother. "But Jacob have I loved." Now, the love of God is toward his people. If you make his love universal, he loves all men the same. You make his love meaningless. It means absolutely nothing. He loved Jacob, this deceitful, this wicked man, and this man who had so much going against him. I mean, his daddy preferred his brother over him. The scripture says he was a mighty hunter, his brother. He was a man's man. Jacob was a mama's boy. Jacob was always in some kind of trouble. But God said regarding this man, "I love him." Now, his name means heel or supplanter. One who gets what he has by defraud and deception. And that's exactly what he was. He was one who got what he had by fraud and deception. Let's look at his birth. Genesis 25. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren." Verse 21 of Genesis 25. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob." And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. That's interesting. Right at his birth, he's holding on to his brother, having his brother pull him out. Look in verse 29 of this same chapter. It says, when they were older, he was a wheeler-dealer, and Jacob sawed pottage. He was a cook. He was cooking some good soup. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, it wasn't his by right. He shouldn't have it, but he wanted it. He said, sell it to me. And you know, Esau didn't have any more desire for that birthright. He was hungry at the time, and he said, what good will it do me? If I'm hungry, I'll starve to death. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. I understand why the scripture says, Esau have I hated. He had absolutely no regard for his brother. He had no regard for the birthright. He had no regard for God. Esau have I hated. Now, look in chapter 27. You'll remember how he swindled his brother's birthright by deceiving his father, taking advantage of his blindness and pretending to be his brother Esau. And then in verse 30, we read, and it came to pass, Genesis 27, verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. This is after Jacob had swindled him. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of my son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I've eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety. Here's Jacob. This is what his name means. And he hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob, a supplanter? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. Now that's the kind of man Jacob was. He was a deceitful man who did whatever it took to get what he wanted. Now, looking, Jacob goes on. You remember after this time, Esau says, I'm going to kill him. Esau says, I'm going to kill him. So his mom said, leave. Go to Padan Aram and meet Laban, my brother, and get a wife of her. And he did that, and he was gone for 20 years. And we don't read where the Lord ever spoke to him that entire 20-year period. He told him to leave, but after that, the Lord stopped communication with Jacob. He didn't hear from the Lord for 20 years. You know, it's amazing the way the Lord works, isn't it? Interesting and amazing. Well, I sure don't want to go 20 years without hearing from him. I want to hear from him now, don't you? I want him to speak to me. But so he's going back after he swindles Laban. Now, I think it's interesting. You know, what comes around goes around. What goes around comes around. He'd been a swindler. He goes to Laban, and Laban swindles him. Remember, he says, I'll work for 7 years for your daughter Rachel. And he worked for 7 years, and he got swindled and ended up with Leah. And then he worked another 7 years, and he got Rachel. So he worked and he ended up swindling Laban and got everything Laban had. Let's look at this. This is the kind of man he was. Look in chapter 30, verse 41. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. You see, he swindled him. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. So now he's going back home. Laban is angry with him. And there's one problem, Esau. Now, look at the way he tries to set this up. Look in chapter 32, verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Look at the way he talks. I mean, that's flattery. Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus. He calls himself Esau's servant. Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I've sent to tell my Lord that I might find grace in thy sight. He's trying to set himself up and manage this situation. And the messengers return in verse 6. And the messengers return to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid. As far as he knew, this was an army. He was going to be killed. He was greatly distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. You see, he managed out everything. You know, maybe this part will get protected, that part will get protected. He wasn't looking to the Lord. He was just managing the situation, trying to make things better for himself. Now look in verse 9. Here we have the first recorded prayer in the scripture, and I think this is very interesting. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return into thy country, into thy kindred, and I'll do well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, now I'm become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he'll come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now that's a great prayer, isn't it? Great prayer. But as soon as the prayer is over, he goes back to his carnal policies, trying to split things up and trying to bribe Esau with gifts. And all he demonstrated by that was his actions and his prayers contradicted one another. Now, verse 24, he's finally left alone. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, how many people have used this to show that Jacob was a mighty man of prayer, that he wrestled with the Lord and he would not let the Lord go until the Lord blessed him? And we should show the same faith that Jacob had, wrestling with the Lord in prayer. But it doesn't say Jacob wrestled with the Lord. It says the Lord wrestled with Jacob. And his purpose was to bring him down. Jacob would never be the same after this wrestling match in which he was defeated and yet won his greatest victory, the changing of his name. Now let's go on reading verse 25. And when he saw this man that was wrestling with him, that he prevailed not against him. Now remember, this man was omnipotent. This is Lord Jesus Christ. He could have whipped him easy. But he has wise and holy purposes in causing this wrestling match to go all night. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now I want you to think about how painful that must have been. I mean, his thigh got knocked out of the hip socket and all power was gone. He lost everything at this time. Can you imagine the pain and the inability at this time? But he kept on going. He didn't know what was going to happen, but what the Lord did is he brought him to this place. He brought him to this place by touching the hollow of the thigh. All he could do was cling. And he said, I will not let thee go, except you bless me. I'm going to hold on. You can kick against me. But I will, I got nothing else. All my strength is taken away. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He was bringing him to the place where he would be just like that Syrophoenician woman. He's at the last place. This is my last option. I have no other options. I will not let you go. I must have your blessing. I must have your mercy. I must have you do something for me. If you don't do something for me, it's over for me. I'll be killed. I won't let you go, except you bless me. That makes me think of the Syrophoenician woman. Don't you love the way when the Lord answered not her word, Scripture says she kept, have mercy on me. And he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, that's the truth, Lord, but I still need your mercy. I still need your help. Help me. Jacob was in the same place. Remember that importunate widow who kept coming to the unjust judge, and he said, I'm going to go ahead and give her water she wants, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He touched the hollow of his thigh and made it out of joint. The seat of his strength, the foundation of his strength, was taken by a touch. And this is actually the healing touch of Christ. You know, when Christ heals you, you're weakened. And that's the best place to be weakened. When I'm weak, Paul said, then am I strong. Now look what Jacob said in verse 26. And he, the Lord Jesus, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. All of my efforts of managing my affairs are an exercise in futility. I must have your blessing. He couldn't fight at this time. The wrestling match was over, but he was clinging. I won't let you go. I want to be Jacob right here, don't you? I want to hold on to the Lord's feet. I won't let you go, except you bless me. I can't let you go. It's over for me. I will not let you go. You know, it's only when you have no strength that you'll seek his strength. It's only when you're 100% guilty and it's all your fault. Jacob saw that he had got everything that he had by lying and deception. It was all falling apart now. And he knew that he was guilty and it was all his fault. And it's only when I'm 100% guilty and all my sin is all my fault that I cry for mercy. I will not let you go, except you bless me. Now, at this time, sovereign grace is a necessity. I love that song you sang in, sovereign grace or sin abounding. Sovereign grace isn't a doctrine. Sovereign grace is the only hope any sinner has. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not let you go except you bless me. Now look in verse 27. Here's the blessing. And he said unto him, the Lord Jesus said unto him, what's your name? Now the Lord knew what his name was, didn't he? He'd known this man from the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what his name was. But what he was doing was getting Jacob to confess who he was. What's your name? Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, a fraud, a manipulator, a sinner, one with no strength, a heel. Have I ever stood before God and confessed what I am? Not just what I've done, but what I am. What's your name? Jacob. Now here's the blessing. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. I'm going to give you a new name. Now, the reason he gave him a new name is because he gave him a new person. It's not just a name hooked on to the same person. It's a new person. Your new name is Israel, which means a prince with God. As a prince, he says to Jacob, this man who is a deceiver, this man who is deceptive, this man who was so weak and so contradictory, God said to him, I'm giving you a new name. You're a prince with God. You have power with God and hast prevailed. Now this deceiver is called a prince with God, and there's only one way that can be. God said it. And if God says, I'm a prince, I'm a prince. If God says, I have power with himself, I have power with himself. God gave him a new name. Now, you're a prince, not a deceiver, a prince. You have power with God. Men love the idea of power so they can get some kind of advantage over their fellow creatures. That's why they love this idea of power. We want power over others, and we fear others having power over us. And even thinking that way demonstrates a complete ignorance of what power is. Power belongeth unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all power is given to me. Do you know the Lord has a monopoly on power? He's got all power. You know how much you and I have? None. None. I still get to thinking about that. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the radio, and they talked about the five most powerful men in the world. And I thought, that's the biggest. No man has any power. Power belongeth unto the Lord. But yet he says to Jacob, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and you've prevailed. Now, what kind of power does Jacob have? God says he has power. And if I'm a Jacob, I have power with God. If you're a Jacob, you have power with God. That means he hears you. That means he responds to what you cry. If you're a Jacob, you have power with God. Now, what is this thing of having power with God? What kind of power does Jacob have? Does it mean he can force his will on God? Well, you know it doesn't mean that. Does it mean he has meritorious power that makes God respond to him because he's such a good person? You know it doesn't mean that. Does it mean he has mental power to get his way? Doesn't mean that. Now, this power is found in the character of God. Let me say a couple of things about this. First, this power comes to every believer by virtue of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Does Christ have power with God? Oh, the Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the prayer of his Son. Okay? Christ Jesus has power with God. Everything he says, the Father hears, and the Father is pleased with, and the Father accepts because of who he is. I love to think of him saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, that wasn't some kind of generic prayer. Everybody he prayed for, Father forgave, because he always hears his Son, because the Son has power with God. And if I'm united to him, if I'm in him, that means I have power with God. Now here's what else it means. Have you ever seen somebody in such a plight that it drew out your strong sympathy toward them? They just seem so miserable and helpless and hopeless. And it just drew your sympathy out toward them. You wanted to help them. They had a kind of power over you. They had a power over you that you had to help them. You had to do something for them. Now our power in coming as sinners in need is not what we are, but what he is. That's the power. You see, the Lord delights in mercy. Now, if I come knocking on heaven's door, open to me. I'm a good, righteous man. The door will not be opened. If I come knocking, open to me. I'm a believer. I have believed the right truth. I am orthodox. The door will not open to me. If I come knocking, well, I'm a preacher. I've preached the truth. I've told the truth. People have been converted through my preaching. Open up to me. The door will remain closed. But if I come, this is Todd, the chief of sinners, the door will open right up, because that has power with God. Psalm 25, verse 11, we just heard it read. Pardon mine iniquity, O Lord. It's not all that bad, but it's great. It's great. That has power with God. Don't plead anything but your badness. That's the only way you can come into his presence. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him, after he made this announcement to him, that his name had been changed. He was no longer Jacob, but Israel. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And I think it's interesting, the Lord wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. I can't say that I know why, but I've got some thoughts about it. Maybe Jacob was being a little bit too presumptuous and familiar. Perhaps he was not showing the proper respect he should have. Or perhaps he thought, if I know his name, I've got something on somebody else. That's the way he would think. I mean, I would like to think the Lord knows my name in this special way, or I know his name in ways that somebody else doesn't. And you know, the Lord would not do that for him. It's interesting, isn't it? He wouldn't tell him his name like that. Wherefore is it that you ask after my name? But that didn't stop him. And he blessed him there. Now there is a place of God's blessing. He blessed him there. There's a place of God's blessing. And that place is Christ. The only way God's going to bless me is as I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, I have all of God's blessing. Now, let me show you this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You're familiar with this. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Doesn't say he will bless us. It says he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing God has to give, every believer possesses right now. And the reason they have it is because they're in the place that God blesses. Where is the place that God blesses? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he blessed him there. Now verse 30 of our text, Genesis 32. Now here's something I think is very interesting. It says in verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Now, God just changed his name. He said, you're not Jacob anymore, you're Israel. So why doesn't say, Israel said, I've seen God face to face? Why didn't it say that? Now, I think this is interesting. You know, when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, he's never called Abram again. He's always called Abraham. When God changed Sarai's name to Sarah, she's never called Sarai again. It's always Sarah, the Hebrew H, the breath of life. But you know, Jacob, he's called Jacob and he's called Israel over and over again. In the same verse, sometimes it'd be called Jacob and then it'll be called Israel. The God of Israel, the God of Jacob. Aren't you thankful that the Lord is the God of Jacob and not just Israel? Jacob. Now Jacob is Jacob. Jacob's the old man. Jacob's the flesh. Israel's the new man in Christ Jesus. Now, every believer is at the same time a Jacob and an Israel. Can't you identify with Jacob? I identify with that man so much. He's one of my heroes in the scripture. One of my heroes. And I identify with him. Jacob. God said, Jacob have I loved. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. All of a sudden he could see. And he halted on his thigh. He had a limp. Do you know that he had a limp the rest of his life? I've heard people describe it, what would happen to you if that when your hip or whatever came out of joint, your thigh came out of your hip, and what it would do to you in the limp. He had a limp the rest of his life. You know, I've never known anybody who doesn't have a limp in their walk. Have you? I've never known a soul who doesn't have a limp in their walk. But this is precisely what caused Jacob to know he must have God's blessing. Now understand this. There is never, ever an excuse for your sin against God. Or my sin against God. I'm never to say, well, you know, nothing I can do about it. It's my nature and so on. There's never an excuse for disobedience in any way. There's never an excuse for sin against God. There's never an excuse for those beams that come out of our eyes. There's no excuse. No excuse. But let me ask you this. What if you didn't have that limp? I'm not excusing it, but what if you didn't have that limp? This limp causes us to come to Christ again and again and again. And I'm not trying to give anybody any comfort in a limp. We ought not have a limp in our walk. We ought not. But we do. Jacob did. You and I are any different from him. But what a blessing that limp is when it causes me to say, "I, all strength is gone. I will not let thee go except thou bless me." You know, this is the Lord's saving touch to Jacob. This touched him that caused him to lose all strength. That it caused him to cling. And that's what I hope every one of us do that. I hope this is us. We cling. I will not let you go. I can't wrestle with you. I can't whip you. But I'm clinging. I got nothing else. Let's pray together. Lord, we tremble for fear in what we're asking. But Lord, we ask that you would wrestle with us and that you would defeat us and that you would cause us to say from the very depths of our hearts, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Lord, bless this message for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.